Chapter 132. Heidi Nagel had spent her entire professional life in service to her country. Trained to think always of the greater good, she rarely thought solely of herself. At the moment, however, thinking of herself was precisely what Nagel was doing. She had already made the decision to resign as ambassador and leave Prague. It was what she wanted to do years ago, but now, very suddenly, her world was transformed. Finch was gone, and she possessed the leverage to weather even the most violent political storm. To Nagel's surprise, however, the assurance of survival brought her no solace, only a gnawing emptiness that had been growing for the past several hours. "My life has to be focused on something more than just surviving." And then Sasha Vesna walked through the embassy's front door. Catherine Solomon felt like it was only minutes ago that she was lost in a deeply satisfied dream world, only to be yanked back into the harsh light of reality. "What are we doing here?" Sergeant Kerbel had just delivered them to the office of Ambassador Nagel, who was standing at her bar, pouring three cups of coffee into fine china emblazoned with the official embassy seal. "Again, I'm sorry for calling so late," she said, "but I'm afraid there have been some major developments in the last hour, and I need to bring you up to speed right away. The information is both urgent and highly sensitive."
"You're telling us here?" Langdon asked. "I thought you no longer trusted the embassy's privacy."
"I don't," Nagel replied, "but everything has changed. The information I'm about to share with you is something I will have no choice but to share with the CIA director as well."
The ambassador turned from the bar, carrying a tray with the coffees toward the sitting area in the corner.
"If he's listening, so be it." "What changed?" Catherine demanded, with the uneasy feeling their lone ally might be rethinking their alliance.
"There are a lot of moving pieces," she said, motioning for them to sit. "So I'll start with those developments that affect you both directly."
Catherine didn't like the sound of that.
"I've been informed that a U.S. military task force is now en route from Ramstein Air Base in Germany. They're landing shortly to formally lock down Folimanka Park and commence cleanup."
Nagel set down the coffees and took a seat opposite them, her expression solemn.
"In addition, I've been told a CIA team is flying in from Langley to initiate a covert investigation into who was responsible for the explosion. I've been advised that their investigation will begin with you."
"Us?" Catherine was shocked.
The ambassador gave a grave nod.
"The U.S. Army has a photo confirming that two unauthorized civilians, you and Professor Langdon, were caught exiting the facility only minutes after the blast."
"Damn."
Catherine glanced at Langdon, whose expression was taut.
"You entered the facility illegally," Nagel said, "which in itself makes you suspects for sabotage. But considering your conflict with the agency over the manuscript, which could be considered motive for revenge—"
"But the video," Langdon protested, "Dr. Gessner's confession, you said—"
"Yes. We have leverage. I can protect you, and I will protect you. The question is how we best insulate you. The answer comes down to what actions we take in the next few hours."
"Okay," Langdon said. "Do you have a plan?"
"I do," she said, "and I suspect you will not like it on first hearing. So before I lay it out, there are some things I need you to understand about the CIA and what we're up against."
Catherine and Langdon both reached for their coffee at the same moment. Apparently, there would be no sleep any time soon.
"On my call with the director," Nagel said, "he confirmed for me that Threshold is indeed the continuation of work the agency has been doing for decades, which began as a rudimentary exploration of remote viewing, Stargate, as you had correctly mentioned earlier. Over time, however, Threshold evolved into something far more encompassing, a project designed to seek answers to some of the most pressing questions that loom in the future." What is the nature of human consciousness? Can the human mind communicate directly with other minds? With machines? Over significant distances? Perhaps even with other dimensions?
Respectfully, Catherine interjected, I'm not sure a military intelligence organization is the best vehicle for exploring humankind's deepest philosophical questions.
Nagel steepled her fingers, her mouth narrowing into a harder line.
Dr. Solomon, she said, this is not about philosophical questions. I mean no offense by this, but you and Professor Langdon enjoy the luxury of exploring science and history in the hallways of academia for one reason only, the diligence of our nation's intelligence agencies. I can certainly appreciate the allure of pure science, but I'm afraid it is the application of that science that protects people like us from enemies who, if given the opportunity, would erase our nation from the face of the earth.
Catherine drew a breath to defend herself, but the ambassador was apparently not finished, her gaze still unflinchingly locked on the scientist.
The CIA director passionately believes that America's very future depends on our being first to master the potential of human consciousness. He was not shy in reminding me that when Einstein first predicted the massive amounts of energy stored within the atom, the American government poured millions into covert physics research and we beat everyone to the atomic bomb. But just imagine if we had not. Imagine if Russia alone had the bomb, or Germany, or the Japanese.
The argument, Catherine had to admit, was a fair one.
The current race to harness the power of the human mind is no different, Nagel continued. The Russians can already read brainwaves with ultrasound. The Chinese are placing massive orders for Neuralink's brain implants. Bot-fueled social media campaigns influence our elections, and we've just discovered what appear to be brain-control technologies embedded in social media apps from overseas. Make no mistake about it. We're in a covert race that has already reached fever pitch, and frankly, it's a race that you and I had better hope we win.
The ambassador sat back and sipped her coffee.
I apologize, Catherine said, her tone conciliatory. If my comment implied I am ungrateful for the agency's work or ignorant of world affairs, then I misspoke. I was simply highlighting the fundamental problem with assuming the moral high ground while performing invasive brain surgery on people without their knowledge or consent. And I agree with you in every way, Nagel replied. The problem is that Director Judd was never informed of a patient fatality or of Finch's methods for procuring test subjects.
You can't possibly believe that, Langdon said.
Nagel shrugged. Whether or not Finch informed him, oftentimes a CIA director has no choice but to turn a blind eye. National security is a world where results are valued over methodology. It's easy to be indignant until you've glimpsed the alternatives. Sometimes the best choice is simply the least objectionable outcome.
Madam Ambassador, Langdon said quietly, Catherine and I can both appreciate the complexities of the CIA's duties. But you called us here to say we are in danger and you have a plan to insulate us, which hinges on what we do in the coming hours.
Yes, Nagel said, setting down her cup. This situation is intricate, but I've realized there is a way through it, a right way, a decent way.
She leaned forward, her gaze now on Langdon.
But in order to pull it off, I'm going to need your help, Professor.
Langdon looked uncertain.
About half an hour ago, the ambassador said, Sasha Vesna walked into this embassy, very much alive.